News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
Now, we all know the narrative, all that screen time, it's melting your kids' brains, it's absolutely detrimental for their development. Well, Candace Odgers, a professor of psychology at the University of California, has actually researched this. Candace, what have you found?
Yeah, so to be honest, when we first started looking at this, we didn't know. We were interested in what kind of effects it too much time on screens or time on digital devices might have on adolescents in particular, because we were tracking them on their mobile phones each day. And parents were asking us, you know, how much should I worry about this? Should I limit my screen time? So we started, in addition to tracking the young people each day on their phones and looking at their mental health and digital tech use, we started to review kind of every study that had been published on the topic. And what we found actually surprised us.
Okay, so what did you find?
So we tended to find a real mixture of results. And most of the effects, when they were there, they were incredibly small. They were just as likely to be positive as negative. Most studies found no effect. And so the thing that was really puzzling to us was why there was all this fear among parents, among policymakers, among teachers around digital tech, when we weren't seeing any signal of that in the data.
So tell me then, even as small as they were, what were those very minor positive and negative effects?
Yeah, so we do see a bit of a signal in terms of some of the positive things that surprise us is that kids that are the most connected offline, that have the strongest relationships offline, tend to have the strongest, most positive relationships online as well. So there seems to be a strong overlap. The same thing on the other side, those kids who tend to be bullied more, for example, offline, also tend to be bullied in online spaces. So it occurred to us that the phone might not be the cause, but it might be a mirror or a reflection of what's happening in offline lives and what youth bring to those interactions.
The fact that the study showed that those effects, that albeit they were there, that they were so minor, am I overreaching and suggesting there's a bit of a moral panic attached to screen time?
There might be. So, you know, each generation has looked back at the previous one and not really approved of how they spent their time. So if you do a historical analysis of this, you see everything from rock and roll to the opening of libraries. You go back to Socrates, you see the pen was going to ruin the memory and the brain. And so, you know, adults look back and we're worried. We're worried about our kids, and that tends to be kind of a natural course of things. Smartphones have been highly visible. It's been a rapid change. So young people have been really enthusiastic and early adopters of new technologies. And it represents something that many parents like me weren't raised in that environment. So it is a bit scary. And their natural reaction is a bit of fear. And that fear has been fueled by a couple of people reporting that there is reason to be alarmed in terms of serious things like depression, anxiety, suicide risk. But in our reviews of the research and what we're seeing in our own data, we just simply don't see evidence to support that yet.
Well, so it's kind of this natural part of human psychology. Every generation is a little bit different from their parents. The parents look at them and say, oh my God, my kids are different from me. They've got different values, different everything. They also have screen time. And there's a bit of a confusion between causation and correlation.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, one of the biggest things that we see is that screen time is causing a problem in families. So parents and kids, one of the number one things that they fight about is how much time their kids are spending online. Parents don't like it, right? And parents can make all kinds of decisions about how they want their youth to spend their time. What this review is saying is if you're making those decisions based on the fact that it's detrimental to mental health, that there's not evidence to support that. But the puzzling thing to us is there's so much fighting around the amount of time kids are spending on screen and so little conversation about what kids are actually doing in online spaces and how we as adults can kind of step in, join with them, support them in those digital spaces that they're increasingly drawn to.
Okay, so what it sounds like to me, for all parents listening to this, it's not so much the fact that they're looking at their screens, it's what's on the screen they should be thinking about.
Yeah, and just like any other kind of context, once our kids hit adolescence, you know, surveillance and spying on them doesn't work. We have to rely on that relationship for them to tell us kind of what they're doing, seeing, worried about. Just like when they go off to school or to sporting events or out with their friends, we need to have those relationships and conversations. So, you know, we can't see everything they see in the online world, and we have to make sure we have those open lines of communication and understand a little bit about what they're experiencing and what the opportunities and the risks might be in those spaces, just like in the offline world.
All right, we'll leave it there. Fascinating stuff. Candace Odgers, Professor of Psychology at the University of California, one of the people behind that research.